I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, a new podcast from Wondery.
From Adele to Victoria Beckham and Lily Allen, we take you inside the drama-filled lives of our most talked-about celebrities to find out what it's like to walk in their shoes.
She means their beautiful Prada shoes.
Listen to Terribly Famous wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, Ronnie here. Well, as usual, we just talked forever on this recap. We went over 2 hours. So this will be a two-parter. Catch the second part in your same podcast feed. You don't have to do anything. Just keep it playing, okay? Love you guys. Enjoy the show. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hello, little Benuni Tune.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Look, I've aged 10 years here. I have to say, being in this heat and this sun, I've become a paper bag face. And I knew it when I came here because I was like, why would I do something tropical when I've got Retin-A on my face? Like, you can't even go near a microwave or your face will crumple up like a paper bag. And I woke up this morning sleeping on my side, you know, how you sleep like fetal. I'm a fetal sleeper. Shocker, I know.
Me too. I love it. Side sleeper all the way.
Oh, I feel like it's so on the nose psychologically, but of course, we're both side sleepers, you know, not you. I shouldn't say that to you, but of course.
No, I'm a side sleeper. I love sleeping on my side.
But when you get older, apparently, you can get wrinkles. Do you have like the wrinkles coming from the top of
your forehead? Oh, is that what these are from? I've got like these two, like little like ant antennas that come down my forehead. Is that where they're from the sleeping?
Yes. Well, that's what the Botox lady said. She said it's from sleeping on your side. So now I'm trying to sleep on my back and it just doesn't work. Like
when I sleep on my back, I snore a little bit.
Well, I'm never with anybody, so I have no idea if I snore. What is Bueller going to tattletale on me? So just, anyway.
But you don't want to get sleep apnea, you know? Either way, I can see that you're on. What a fun show, apnea. Well this is a very Shannon Bedore style opening, you know, a little glitch, concerns about apnea. Well, I don't want to get sleep apnea because, you know, what if it upsets John and then we'll be paralyzed? Luckily, he doesn't sleep over.
I have sleep, dumb blonde bitch on the beach stealing David Bedore, Nia. Okay.
I have sleep slut, Nia, where I go to sleep and I think of that slut.
I have sleep. I save Gina's kids from going to CPS, Nia.
Can't spell apnea without, well, you could spell it without the C and the S, but you can't spell it without the P.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crap Is. Technically, supposedly, this is a show about Bravo. Today is Real Housewives of Orange County Day. We've had a really fun week here so far. Tuesday night, we normally do our Crappy Hour live Instagram show on Monday nights, on every other Monday night. But this week, we're doing it Tuesday because guess what? Monday is a holiday. I'm going to Beyonce this weekend. I'll need the extra recovery time.
I'm going to a bar mitzvah. Which will be as intense.
Same day. Yeah. We're having Big B weekends. You know, I'm going Big to be, B. You're going to be as well. So we're going to do it Tuesday night. We're also doing it on YouTube Live this time. So find information. We'll post it on our Instagram before the show and whatever. So follow us on Instagram. Also on YouTube, we're at Watch What Crappens. Same as Instagram. Also, our bonus this week just came out today. It is a audio and video version of our trailer trash, which is our trailer breakdown of the Southern Charm preview, which came out last week. So that's up. That's super fun. And what else do we have?
I don't think there's anything else.
Is that it?
I think that's the, you know, the video, the usual stuff, Patreon, the usual stuff. I finished my pajama pants of my sewing class, by the way.
How'd that go?
Worked out really well. There was a little bit of drama. I improperly sewed something. I improperly folded down a crease, and I almost ruined the entire area that the elastic was supposed to go into. Uh-oh. But it turns out those seam rippers, they really are a lifesaver. So I fixed it, and I immediately went and put them on and took very unflattering photos of myself in the pajama pants. And it was worth it. It was worth it for those photos because they're so cute.
Worth it. Well, congratulations. I love that you're enjoying your sewing class.
I know. Next up is shirts.
Now you can be a homemaker gay, like the gay that we are going to be covering this week in Dwell Hello, our House Hunters podcast over on Wondery Plus. That's the other thing we had to plug. We're going to do that this week. Okay, so let's get into Orange County. This is called Pumpkins and Something, but I didn't write down the second word. It's season 17, episode 12, and it takes place mostly in a pumpkin patch.
I'm going to guess the name of the episode, and I will go look it up right now. I'm going to guess the name of the episode is Pumpkin Spicy or something like that.
Pumpkin and Spicy? Oh,
or
that's
pumpkin
cute.
Pumpkin Spicy, right? I'm going to look right now while you set up the episode.
I did set it up. Oh, I see what you mean.
Well, meaning like as you
pumpkin
continue to
match,
talk.
Maybe. Or like, well, no, it's pumpkin and something. So I don't know. Pumpkin
match. Oh, it's pumpkin and? I mean, I don't understand what the pun would be with pumpkin and. I don't feel like there are any phrases that are pumpkin and. Pumpkin and spice makes everything nice.
I don't know.
Is that
but
a thing?
You know how some titles they put dot, dot, dot on because it doesn't all fit on the guide or whatever? That's what happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know the end. And then I was like, I'll look that up later. And then I was like, get a life. And then I didn't do it. And then I started wondering, why are toenail clippers $12? And then I just went down a whole spiral of shame. Like, I just spent $12 on nail clipping scissors, and I'm such a loser. People could use, you know, people could use that money. Okay, so here we go. We start with,
at least hand me a taco.
Oh, it's called Pumpkins and Paparazzi, which I feel like not a... why did they not go with Pumpkin Spicy? I mean, that just, like, is right there. It's
pumpkin
right there.
Spiced Natte or, like, Pumpkin Spice Spatte, you know?
Pumpkin Spice CPS. Or how about this one? This
Pumpkin
is
CPS Latte.
What about dun-dun-dun? This is CPS. How about CPS News this morning?
You're going off the pumpkin trail, Ben. Come back to the pumpkin trail, Ben. Come back to
the
patch.
Child Pumpkin Services. It is what a pumpkin patch is there for.
Hey, you can call this episode whatever you want, but at least hand me a taco.
Every time that at least hand me a taco comes on, I crack up. Like, there will never be a time. I feel like Emily solved all of her past issues with me just by having that stupid line.
Fun fact, I went out and had tacos last night before I watched OC. So I actually ate this with the fuel of tacos.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I watched it. I didn't actually eat the episode as much as I wanted to. I watched the episode of the fuel of tacos.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I just got a notification from the people I'm renting this place from because I sent, like, a bitchy little thing like, my internet, I have very important work. And he just sent me a message, and it said, there is an outage in your area, and sent me a screenshot to prove it. And it says that the internet will be in and out for the next 2 hours. So everybody just wish us luck.
Barry Manilow is working on the power lines as we speak.
Okay, thank you so much for checking for me. You fucking bitch. Okay, so here we go. Heather in office. And that was a male, so I'm allowed to say that. Okay, so Heather in her office pretending she's doing work things, which always cracks me up because Heather's she tries to be like Lisa Vanderpump with her paperwork, manila envelope. But she's Heather Dubrow. You know, it's like, how do I get one assistant through the gate to the other gate under the next gate to get me my latte on time?
She's literally acting as if she's a cast member of industry, and all she's doing is just like typing, like mashing her keyboard into a spreadsheet, which is probably what people on industry do anyway. So Terry is hungry.
They're like,
Terry
people DeBros. In industry are like having like really dirty sex scenes and then being like, my life is in HD. Please get out of the meeting with this.
Heather Dubrow would single-handedly ruin that show. Like, well, I work in finance, and I now have a drug problem, and I'm having an illicit relationship with a coworker. Hi.
Heather Dubrow's industry. Just talking about Reba McEntire a lot while torturing busboys in your employ.
She'd be trying on her British accent. Hello there, I'm Heather Dubrow from London. I'm here to work in finance and such. Do you have three gates to get into this office, sir?
So Heather's in her office and Terry comes in with his Mama Elsa face and they have kisses and she's like, I'm just going through a list of what's going on, Heather. Josh and Heather Altman from Bravo Television, which we have nothing, this is not a tie-in at all, are coming soon. Hopefully we get good news because we are in escrow right now on our home industry. This is the home industry, Terry Dubrow.
She just starts walking quickly through her house. I figured I might as well do a Sorkin audition at the same time. And she's like, you know, we're in escrow in our house until a buyer removes contingencies and it's not a done deal. But Terry believes I totally manifested this because funny story on New Year's Eve. Guess what I predicted would happen this year? A, they would reboot Reba and I'd be a cast member. And B, we would sell our house for $60 million. I was only $5 million off.
Oh, gosh. And this guy, this Josh Altman, is so Josh Altman. He's like, hey, guys. He's so salesman-y. It makes me crazy even seeing his face. And she's like, I would show you to the dining room, but you know where the dining room is, Josh Altman. And Terry's like, oh, my God, is this guy like the surgeon of real estate? She says, yes, that's what I always say. Josh Altman is the Terry Dubrow of real estate. And Josh is like, hey, biggest sale ever. Nailed it, guys.
Explains why Josh Altman's face now looks exactly like a mid-century ranch. Wow. I was like, wow, it just really just stretched it out there.
Wow, you can walk his face all over that entire thing without stairs anywhere. It's crazy.
I love that Heather is like, wow, he knows his way all around this house. We don't have to show him anywhere. Unlike Richard Marks, who still hasn't figured out a way out of this palace. Just see Richard Marks opening up cupboard doors, thinking it's the door out. Nope, this isn't it. It's been 2 years
of crawling into cupboards. It's like, no, that's where the pop chips go. Get out of there, Richard. I'd like to think Heather has one of those big square lit things in her house, like in the mall, where there's like a map.
A directory.
You're like, I should know where the Apple store is right now, but you never do. You're like, damn it, why am I by the Macy's again? How do I get tricked by Dillard's every single time? And then you look at it and you're like, oh God, I forget this mall has two Dillard's. Because do you need a men's Dillard's and a women's Dillard's? I'm like, we don't. Just come up with different fucking names for them. I'm just trying to get my fucking phone fixed.
Yeah, her directory actually has two locations where it says you are here. It says you are here to indicate where you're standing, and you are here to indicate what size house you have in comparison to hers. And you just sort of see like a little pebble and then a giant boulder, and the little pebble says just Gina's house. You are here.
She's like, you are here. I am here. It's just like levels above. There's no escalators to get to the level that Heather's above.
It's just you are here. It just tells you what part of the IMDb page you're on. You're like, congratulations, you've made it to my mid-90s work. If you continue to scroll, you'll see some of my latest work in the 2000s. So
she's like, okay, Josh, are you guys going to show yourselves out? And Kara's like, yeah, just take a left by my the representation of our third frozen embryo in that etched glass or whatever. What was that tree that they have the glass etching of?
She wanted
it
to put like
embryos, right?
Then yeah, it was like the children, and then there was like some birds in there. I think it was like birds were the children and eggs were like the embryos or something
like
that.
Are they taking the frozen embryo wall? Because I feel like that's a weird thing to leave in a $55 million house. Like, look at our Richard Marks once saying here. Also, the lady who used to live here who played Coraline's mother in the cartoon Coraline froze some embryos, and those are represented by these birds. Okay, let's move on to the granite countertop, shall we?
I love Josh just being, of course, like you said, so like fakely Josh Altman. He's like, you guys should be proud. Like, you guys should be stoked. You know, I see a lot of houses and this is literally the nicest house I've ever seen. Hold on one second. I just got a text. Okay. The Nobel Prize for houses goes to you guys. Congratulations. This is the best house in the world. So really an honor to sell this house for you guys.
He is really a cheese ball, that guy. And so Heather's like, what are we going to do for Christmas? I love having all the kids for Christmas, but now we just have this 80 zillion quadrillion dollar condo in LA with just two bedrooms. Can you believe we paid that much for a two bedroom? I can. Personally, I can.
This is the most Heather DeBrosseen of all time. They're like on the verge of selling their house for $55 million. And then she's saying, our apartment in Los Angeles is just too small. It's only two bedrooms. As if it's like a place in the valley with cars parked under the living room and not a like Ferragamo designed penthouse on the top of Century City.
Yeah, she really is. And they really show, this scene also really shows how Tether, I guess that would be their name, right? Terry and Heather, yeah. Tether. I guess this shows how fake they really are with each other because Josh and the other Heather leave the room and they're like, okay, bye, thank you, we're so in love, can't wait to spend Christmas in our tiny little abode. And then they think that the scene is done and they immediately just go on their phones and like yes. drop their smiles. Like, I'm back to hating this fucking crazy rubber-faced idiot I married.
I know, that moment was great. I also enjoyed right before that when Heather basically is like, okay, I no longer want you in my house. She just says to Josh, well, we're going to go grab the kids now, so are you guys okay showing each other out? And they're like, sure, and they leave. And then Heather and Jerry just sit down at the table and just start talking. And I'm like, so those kids, are you going to grab them or?
No, they're not going to. And they're not even going to look at each other. They're just like, okay, yeah. Camera people, leave. Leave without looking us in the eye. And then the producers are like, wait a second. They're still here, guys. I'm like, why? Who let them in? I thought we turned on the lasers in the hallway. And it turns out that the people who are looking at the house signed. They signed the contract. And then Terry's like, $50 million. That's not just fuck you money. That's fuck you and everyone you've ever fucking known money.
And then Max comes in. I'm like, yeah, by the way, thanks, Terry. Then Max comes in and she's like, oh my God, why are you guys yelling? And Heather's like, we just signed. And Terry's like, G6, baby. I'm like, you guys. I get it. You guys just got $60 million. That's actually, or $55 million. It's pretty amazing. But this is so tacky.
It's so gauche.
Honey, guess what? We can buy you a music career now.
And then she says, the fact that we had the most perfect bottle of Dom Chilling was just wonderful. Best moment ever. 2012. Because I didn't like the 10. And the producer's like, oh, yeah, you hated the 10. She's like, oh, the 10 was not good. But honestly, this assholery is so worth it to me. Like, it's this ridiculous tone. I don't know if it's you say it's tone deaf, but like self-involved, wealthy, obnoxious assholery. It was
so
worth
it. Tone deaf. Have you seen what's going on in the country? My goodness.
Right. Well, I meant like, I don't know. Like, in
not that they need to pretend they're poor. Like, nobody would buy that anyway. Could you imagine? Heather's like, welcome home, children. I'm grilling dog hots. Dog.
But to me, all this ridiculousness is worth it just so then we can have like the smash cut to all the poor cast members. So we just cut to like Taylor in her strangely brown living room, just like calling people. Taylor. I was so mad that they didn't just cut right to Gina's little hut, you know?
Yes. It was funny watching all the porn. What was I going to tell you? Oh, it's also something said about just the level of delusion, how they're always talking about how rich they are and how they've really gotten so much richer. Like, it goes from, and I'm not saying they were ever poor, just faking it. But, you know, that's a housewife's thing where you're supposed to brag about your money and this and that. And it's like, do they really have this much money? And I remember thinking, where does their money actually come from? I mean, I know he had a really rich brother and then later he did botch. And I know he's a plastic surgeon, but they were spending like real money. I mean, on these homes they were building. That's always their storyline, is building these huge homes. I was like, where does this money? Like, I wasn't buying it, but they're so delusional that they really have built up that money by taking out the loans to build the first houses in the first place and then selling them for so much profit. I was watching this show yesterday and it had a quote at the beginning and it was like, any man could be successful. Any man has the potential to be successful, but it takes an insane man to be like brilliant or something like that, or to be like uber successful. And that's like them. It takes like a really true asshole to just B is so obsessed with money that you end up becoming worth all this money. I mean, it's inspiring in a weird way, you know?
I just love the juxtaposition of this very, 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 very wealthy person on a cast with basically upper middle class women. And I just think, and that, like you said, that they all kind of feel like they're on the same echelon in a way. I mean, they always joke about Heather is like really, really rich, but I feel like they kind of think that they're all kind of peers and they're somehow like in the same tier, but Heather's on the top end of the tier. But it's like, no, you're not. You're so not. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
You are not rich enough to ride this ride for sure. Yeah. Sorry, I'm making clinking. I'm trying to get this microphone closer to my face. Why? Really no reason at all. I don't need it closer to my face.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Since his death in 2009, the world has struggled with how Michael Jackson should be remembered, as the king of pop or as a monster. I'm Leon Nafok, the host of Fiasco and the co-creator of Slow Burn.
And I'm Jay Smooth, a hip-hop journalist and cultural commentator. Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation for the first time in 1993. Our new podcast, Think Twice, Michael Jackson, is the story of what came before and what came after.
Throughout the podcast, we explore what makes Michael Jackson seemingly uncancelable. And we dig into the complicated feelings so many of us have when we hear Billie Jean at the grocery store.
Through dozens of original interviews with people who watched the story unfold firsthand, Think Twice is an attempt to reconcile our conflicted emotions about Michael Jackson, the man, with our deep-seated love of his art.
Listen to Think Twice, Michael Jackson, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can binge the entire series ad-free on Audible or the Amazon Music app.
So next we go to Taylor's Oddly Brown house, as you say. Mm-hmm. And really, every time they show that house, I think, God, that house is brown.
Yeah.
Well, it's some heavy curtains.
Listen, someone's got to keep Ashley Furniture in business. And so why not it be Taylor? So she is FaceTiming everyone because she's going to be doing a pumpkin patch event. So she's FaceTiming everyone, inviting them to like a fall festival to celebrate the changing of the seasons as best, you know, as one can in Orange County. But Shannon and Heather don't take her call because, first of all, Shannon's just like brushing Archie and like in this quietly meditative way, like all of the entire world is now suddenly at peace. You know, in her mind, she's like, okay, if I just brush Archie, everything will be fine. No issues. I will not be paralyzed by John anymore. John Jansen will love me if I just brush Archie more.
And Heather doesn't answer because she's in her home having like 20 Alfredos count piles of money. 20 by 20 by 20 by 20 by 20.
You're not keeping up with that, Alfredo, Alfredo. God damn it, Alfredo, you're fired. Someone get me HR Alfredo on the phone so I can hire an Alfredo. I need a replacement Alfredo.
One of the lady Alfredos is like, okay, so we have to figure out what's going to stay and what's going to go. Is the piano staying? Hold on, just knock on it because Daisy Fuentes has been sleeping inside it. Make sure she's out.
Can we have move for Alfredo carry Daisy Fuentes out of the piano? Thank you.
Daisy, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go back to your house.
The Alfredo Heimer piano, please. Thank you. Someone get Daisy out of the Alfredo playing piano.
Do we take the Nobu doorbell, which as we all know is the doorbell that's designed specifically for Nobu workers to bring sushi into my household without being seen?
Did you see the Taylor video that was going around this week? I think it was TMZ.
Oh, of her drunk on Pop.
So embarrassing.
Oh, no.
And it also was so wonderful. Hilarious. Yeah, it was her coming out of Craig's, which, wow. That Craig's, does anybody ever come out sober from Craig's? I mean,
I'm not sure.
I've been there a couple of times, but I think I've come out of there the same way every single time.
I came out shit-faced. I went there once and I came out shit-faced. I was just drinking with a whole bunch of cougars at the bar. And it feels like Craig's is like Los Angeles's answer to the Regency, Wednesday night at the Regency. Like, I feel like Los Angeles's Tom D'Agostino and Harry Dubin are there. And I loved it.
Yeah, it is. That is what it is. And it's just like older ladies just like getting shit faced and pointing at each other and stopping by each other's tables going, I see you here.
But there's a security guard who roams through with a gun.
By the way, before anybody tries to cancel me, this is a long time ago, but I went with Leah Black, Kelly Dodd, Heather McDonald, and I forget who the other person was. And that was the night that Kelly Dodd.
Stassi Schroeder.
We were walking. I know. Leanne Locken.
It's just Leanne Locken. Everyone that we actually know.
So that was the night we were walking up, and we were walking up to the restaurant, and Kelly Dodd was like, "Oh my God, that's David Foster. Hey, you want to see me get on TMZ? Watch!" And then she just went and got in David Foster's car. And she was like, "Hi, David." He's like, "Get out of my fucking car, you crazy person." And then we went in to sit, and I swear to you, before we even ordered drinks, Kelly went, "Told ya!" And she held up her phone, and she was already in TMZ.
That's such a great story.
You people are so fucking crazy. This is fun to watch, but not my scene, girl.
That's Kelly Dodd using her powers for good, you know? I just like the idea that someone rattled David Foster and that it was Kelly Dodd, because that's a man who deserves to be rattled once in a while. Because I sat through his documentary, and I was like, you know what? I need my time back. Someone rattled this guy.
Honestly, fuck that guy. Yeah. I'd listened to him on some podcast about the Whitney Houston something or other. And they were interviewing him about My Life, not My Life Will Go On, Not My Heart Will Go On, that Celine. You know what I mean.
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You. Oh my God. Just jerking off. I was like, David Foster's come over himself just splurted through my speakers. Fuck this guy.
All he does, anytime you see any David Foster content is just him jerking off to an image of himself, telling stories about Chicago or Whitney Houston or Buble. He's like, "I was at a wedding and I said, 'Who is that trumpet player?'"
Yeah.
Which is not it. And then I said, "Oh, and who's the guy singing next to trumpet player?" I was like, "Well, I don't know why I said trumpet player." It's like, I said, "I want to sign him." And then boom.
He just takes credit for everything. He's like, "Oh yeah, so you know, I was like, you know, this Dolly song, this would be perfect, this Dolly." And then I thought to myself, "Wow, what if we just made it like? What if we made the piano sound like that? What if it just sounded exactly?" I was like, "Come on, David, stop taking credit for every little thing. You can't take credit for Dolly Parton too." He's like, "I remember seeing Dolly Parton's mother in a mountain one time and saying that lady's going to be the mother of a star one day. And so I splooged on myself and made sure to pass by her and get some on her vagina." And then boom, Dolly Parton was born, wrote that song. Whitney got it. I rearranged it. And here we are.
He always does that too. All his stories, like just when it's getting to the most interesting part where you want to find out the nitty gritty of the story, he just goes like, he always goes boom. He goes, and then boom, number one hit. I'm like, no, there was not a boom.
Yeah, he's one of those
people. There were many steps. There were many steps. I want to hear about all the steps. Boom.
So anyway, Taylor came outside Craig's recently. I guess she was on something. Watch What Happens Live. Oh no, Entertainment Tonight, I guess. And so she was out celebrating with her husband, and she just came out shit faced, like, "Hello, everybody, it's me, Taylor Armstrong." And someone was like, "Hey, what's your name?" And she goes, "You don't know my name, you really." Is that real tight smile? And it was so nice to see wasted Taylor back, because
so good.
She's been on her best behavior for Housewives so far, but we all remember,
yeah,
cat meme Taylor. And you know, there was like a lot of sadness in Taylor's storyline on Beverly Hills, obviously, but even minus that, I'm not saying like, "Hey, bring back sad Taylor." I'm saying bring back this level of drunk Taylor. Yeah,
it was wonderful. I was like, when you said, like, it was not even, I don't even think it was embarrassing for her. I thought it was like very empowering. I was like, you know what, Taylor, you are having a great day and you're drunk and the paparazzi care about you. I was like, you just enjoy this and you go and you be sassy and drunk and slurry. Like, you deserve this.
It was pretty funny. And her husband was just loving it. He wasn't like mortified at all. He thought it was the best thing. And he's like, "Here's my honey, you know, living her best life." And the guy who didn't remember her name, every time he would ask her something, she's like, "Not talking to you."
And then she's like, "And I'm bisexual. Don't forget, I'm bisexual."
And he goes, "You're bisexual?" She goes, "Oh, wow, you don't even know I'm bisexual. Do you even watch the show?" I was like, "Babe, none of these people watch the show."
And your bisexuality has not been a feature of this show in any way whatsoever, except for the fact that your husband looks vaguely like Rosie O'Donnell. So anyway, we go to the Harley David. I mean, just casually.
That is so awfully true. That is so terribly true.
I mean, she's a lucky gal. So we go to Harley Davidson. I'm surprised not more scenes are shot in the Harley Davidson of Orange County because it's enormous. I don't even remember where it is, but I remember driving by it once and it was like, it literally looked like a Mormon temple. It was so enormous. And
well, that's what happens. You know, you get enough wives and keep them together and you eventually get your own planet with as many Harleys as you have wives.
Yeah. So, and Orange County is like a very big Harley Davidson kind of vibe down there. So,
it does. Yeah, it does. So, I took the motorcycle class once because, you know, I used to, by the way, this recap's 10 hours. I'm sorry. I can't concentrate today.
tales of our lives.
I'm not drunk, fine. I promise. But I had to take that motorcycle class to get my Vespa. And there's always, and the instructor said this, well, the guy wasn't listening, obviously, but there's always the guy in the motorcycle class who shows up with a $10,000, you know, or $100,000, whatever they cost, Harley Davidson that can't ride them and drops it in the class. And it happened. And that's what this reminds me of. It's like, I'm going to take a class. Let's get a Harley.
Like, no. Yeah. You know, are Harley Davidsons, how expensive are they? I don't know motorcycle.
I don't remember. You know, I don't remember because I was like, never a motorcycle person. I was always like a Vespa person.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I learned the motorcycle because I figured I might as well since I'm in this class. But, I mean, I was just there for the Vespa. I don't know.
Boring ending to that one, huh?
Okay,
wow, Ronnie, I was really hoping you'd land that plane a little bit better. But, okay, fine.
Well, it's just, you know, the general general douchey thing of starting with the most expensive bike. I figure it's on brand. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm like, that gets a big... for me.
And David Foster was like, and then boom, I invented the Harley.
Boom, Harley Davidson's took America by storm. I like to crank up my Michael Bublé and drive him a Harley Davidson. Yeah. By the way, fuck David Foster for unleashing Michael Bublé onto our lives, into our world, you know? So Emily is looking for bikes. Because bikes for females, because she wants to ride motorcycles. And she wants to do more things in life. And she's like, I don't want to be like talking about them. I just want to be doing them. So I'm going to ride a motorcycle, which is exciting for her, I suppose. You know, cool.
Gina said the same thing to her that you said to me. Can't we just find like a hobby that's like a less kill yourself type of hobby? That would be good.
And it's funny. I'm insane.
It's funny because not only did Gina and I say the same thing about that, and then I remember actually physically pointing at you and saying, "How dare you fucking bring CPS into this?" I was like, "So it's really, it's so like the parallels."
So you called Chubby Protective Services on me when I tried to get on a Vespa.
Cookie People Services. How dare you?
So the producer asks if Shane's going to ride in the sidecar. And Emily's like, he's sidecar sized. Which I used to think was her shaming his size when she used to make jokes about Shane. But now that I know them, I just know that that's their kink. Like, he likes kind of like a bigger girl. He likes doing anal on kind of like a, you know, a big girl. She likes a tiny guy. And it's hot. Yeah. Like, I'm so glad they found each other.
Yeah. So Gina's like, so I had coffee with Jen, and like obviously I asked her about like how dinner was, and like, you know, because I didn't go to it, and she said like Shannon was like, oh my god, like she's the reason that CPS didn't take my kids away from me. And I was like, why would CPS take the kids away from you? Is there a violation about terrible decor? Is that now a thing that they can intervene on?
Is there a law against gather signs? Since when aren't you allowed to have six children sleeping in one bathroom together?
Since when is it illegal to stack six children on top of a thing of toilet paper from Costco and feed them ragu?
I thought it was really creative how you bought those mortuary refrigerators with the little cabinets that you just put each kid in and lock them up for the night.
Wait, when we talk about CPS, are we talking about Child Protective Services or Child Prego Services? Because one is a meal delivery kit that I think you said you subscribe to.
Yo, what's wrong with chip providing services? Okay, I have one. I get a weekly box.
Oh my god. So, Anyway, I'm like, what did I do to her? I mean, to me, I'm like, oh, my name shouldn't be brought up, period. I'm like, I agree. Why are you on the show? Why are we talking about you at any given time?
I was like, why am I bringing up your name?
Why are you on TV? Why are you part of pop culture?
I'm literally mad every time I see it in my notes. I'm like, oh, stop giving it attention.
I once had this idea for this really asshole website I did where I'd write thank you letters to people, and basically thank you and farewell letters where I'd say, you know, dear Ed Sheeran, thank you so much for your service to pop culture. You've, you know, blessed us with so many lovely songs. You may go now. And I feel like we appreciate your service. You may go now. It's sort of like firing people from pop culture because I just don't want to, right. I just don't want them anymore. And Gina is a great candidate for this. Thank you so much for your service. Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Now, this said, I'm Team Gina on this one, which is very rare. So I'm not going to like really delve into it, but I'm Team Gina on this one.
I mean, I understand why. I 100% realize why she's upset. Like, you know, I totally get it, you know?
I'm team caution cone, orange caution cone on this one. Gina's
confessional dress. I don't think that Shannon is a monster for bringing it up in the context that she brought it up, but I understand why Gina is upset, so I would not be like, get over it, Gina.
Yeah. So Emily's like, I just think that clearly Shannon doesn't like you very much. And Gina's like, well, this is a whole nother level. And it's so heartbreaking that, like, you finally get to a place where you're doing good and someone's sole mission in their life is to tear you down. And Shannon is like, oh, she's such a good friend. She really helps me by never letting anyone ever forget what she did for me. Yeah. And every time she brings it up, it gets worse and worse. The next time I meet a new friend, I'm going to be a fucking murderer.
I mean, says Gina, who is like the world's biggest exaggerator on this show, who also does the same thing and was like talking shit and turning on Shannon way before any of this silliness even happened. So I don't know. I feel like I understand why Gina's upset, but also I feel like she just makes it seem like she was just such a great friend to Shannon. And then like, she can't believe why Shannon, you know, like she just can't believe like, oh my God, Shannon just like hates me. I'm like, you were a dick to Shannon. I'm sorry.
Constantly. She really is. And normally I'm on Team Shannon with this stuff because I feel like Gemily, their couple name. I feel like Gemily. I feel like Gina and Emily are always anti-Shannon and then acting like, what? Why doesn't anybody like us? But in this case, I think saying CPS was going to get those kids if it wasn't for me in front of everybody again is like terrible. Like I just can't. I'm totally.
It is. Okay. Like, I'm going to concede that it's terrible.
Even talk myself into being on Team Shannon for that one.
I think that I just think that Gina is so full of bullshit that like, I don't know. I just see Shannon as just, I don't know. It's just like ridiculous. I don't know. I guess you're right on this one. I guess it, you know, I'm not a parent, so I don't really. But that being said, Gina is shitty to Shannon, and then she acts surprised when Shannon, you know, takes like a dig.
Yeah.
and invokes CPS.
Yeah.
So
chip provider services.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we're getting, why is Orange County doing all these weird filters over their B-roll footage? It's weird. Like where half the screen is pink and then half the screen is orange.
Like rectangles.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like keeping it spicy, you know?
It's just the color filters I don't get. I like the like, you know, the iMovie things where they're like grids, you know, where they're like, look, someone's rollerblading. Oh, look, someone's surfing. Oh, look, someone's being buried in a sandcastle. Oh, look, someone's starting a trash can on fire. Oh, look, it's a Harley Davidson crashing into a mountain. That's where I want it to go. I just want it to get so dark. You know, they're like, Orange County.
Why don't they ever focus on places like Tustin? Okay, because there's a lot of places in Orange County. Okay,
why don't they focus on people stepping into dog poop on the dog beach in Huntington? How about that? How about let's focus on the real dark things about Orange County that we've all experienced?
Yeah, how about like Fullerton? Okay, why don't you go into like deep Fullerton?
Oh, well, that's a deep cut. Sorry, Fullerton, blame Ben. So weird pink filter is Shannon's house. So we hear this sandpaper sound. It's like, and then David Foster's like, and that's when I invented the glorious Stefan Miami sound machine band. Thank you.
Like, and that's when I discovered John Cicada. So it's God, John.
I love those bugs, by the way. Cicadas are, I love the music that cicadas make. I just have to say that. I heard them the other night and I was like, yes, cicadas, play that song. They're like,
they're like, I don't want to stay. Just John Cicada. So Shannon's house. And so John, not John Cicada, but John Jansen is scratching Shannon's back. She goes, oh, that feels good. That feels good. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure what you're not realizing about just simply saying K means stop. K.
That is enough, John. Okay, I mean, the sound literally is like, okay, John. He's like walking away with like bits of skin all over his nails.
So Tamara shows up. By the way, they're also surrounded by just like all the Mackenzie Child shit everywhere. All the Mackenzie pumpkin, every single thing. And yes, I know they are having a sale because everyone, every year sends me all the Mackenzie Child sales. I'm like, Ben, look, Mackenzie Child. I get it. I see it. Please don't send me anymore. So Mackenzie Child stuff everywhere, though, assaulting my eyes. And also 818 tequila bottles, which I thought was like, wow, that's taking a stance in the world of Bravo to have 818 tequila.
It really is. And Shannon's always talking about how much she loves tequila, and that's what you get, 818. Like, it's not the best tequila, guys. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
no Kylie, Casa,
whoever you are.
Oh, Casa del Sol, that's for sure. So John's like, Tamara shows up, so John's like trying to get out of there as soon as possible because, like, wouldn't you if you saw a giant flesh-eating bat walk in? So he's trying to get out. She's like, wait a second. Hey, John, did you stay the night, John? He's like, die.
Yeah, and John totally has that face of a guy who just got laid for the first time in a really long time. He's like, hey, all right, good to see you, babe. He's walking away with all her back skin on his fingers, like, good to see you, babe. I was like, wow, John got some. I'm so proud. So Shannon's like, well, everyone has a comment about John and I. Should we call Emily and tell them that John Jansen just got some Shannon Stormsby door all over his fingers? God, my back really hurts. Do you have any, could you put a towel on my back? I'm literally losing all the skin on my back now.
He literally scratched off my reel, so I am now just reel for exposed back wounds. So Shannon's like, well, we discussed it, and you know what we decided? We don't care what they're all saying. Was John happy? No. Did I cry? Yes. Was I paralyzed for several hours? Yes. Did John threaten to leave me? Yes. Did I say, please, John, you can gouge the skin out of my back if just please stay with me? Did he say yes? Yes.
Can I let him simulate missionary over my shapewear because I really didn't want to peel them off and have actual sex?
Yup. Yup.
Did it work?
Yup.
Did he forgive me?
Yup.
Did I wear a bulky USC sweatshirt during the process? Yup.
So Tamara's like, I was worried you're going to cancel that party after everything you went through. But it was fun, bitch. So are you going to be with Heather? Are you going to be with Heather and talk about stuff? And Shannon's like, I don't owe anyone an explanation. And I'm not going to talk about every argument I've had with John Jansen. I'm not going to do. That is something I'm not going to do, which I'm very calm about. But I will with you. And I don't get upset. Listen, here's where I get very upset. Normal things. Here are things that paralyze me as they would paralyze other normal people if I don't spend time with John, or if John doesn't come over, or if he says there's too much chaos at your house with the girls, or if he says, why are you yelling at me? Please stop yelling at me. You're hurting my feelings.
Yeah, just simple things like, you know, I just everyday normal things like John saying,
I don't think the spark is there anymore, or I don't think I love you anymore, or I will do this for you for TV, but honestly, I'm out of here as soon as your quote-unquote season's over, but just like normal things, we're generally very happy.
It just upsets me when John says things like, why are you yelling at the waiter for not bringing guacamole? We've already eaten a guacamole when I know we haven't eaten a guacamole.
I mean, do I get upset when he orders me a short rib with a sugary sauce at a gastropub? Yes. Do I have flashbacks of David doing the same thing? Yes. Do I sometimes wonder if they compare notes together? Yes. Am I in a Hitchcockian movie where I'll be thrown from a train? Perhaps. But otherwise, we're fine. We're fine.
Or when he says he's going to the bathroom after I ask the waitress if she's sure the blue cheese is zero calories again, and instead of going to the bathroom, he picks up his car keys from valet and leaves me at Mastro's. Just being honest. Paralyzed. Paralyzed.
It's like the time we went to Mastro's and he said, oh, I should just touch the plate because it's a perfect room temperature, and I did, and I singed my fingernails off. But it's fine. It's fine.
And Summer's like, so he's a runner, huh? And she goes, well, I wouldn't call him a runner, really. Did you see him saunter out of here? He's probably out of breath in his car right now on the way.
But he is an avoider. He is an avoider.
I mean, we've never gone on a trip where he and I have no work. I mean, that's something that's bothered me. I mean, well, I guess in his mind, we do take trips all the time when we get on his boat and go to Nobu. But he spends most of that time yelling at me and convincing me that there's no wake behind the boat. But I saw a wake! I saw a wake! We're going too fast in this boat. It's not a vacation.
But, you know, it's been a lot of work. And sometimes I say, is he really into this? And Tamara's like, well, it's after I got married. It's after I got married.
And Shannon's like,
well, we don't talk about it. These are just issues we talk about. And it's none of Heather Dubrow's business or Gina Kirkenschneider-Dider, Bundider's, Shang-Dong, Kirkenschneider-Dider's business either. So, I would appreciate.
Wasn't that funny? Because just last week, you were like, what is Gina's last name?
How do you
we were trying to figure it out.
Yeah, she's like, it's not Heather Dubrow's business, or Emily Simpson's business, or Gina Gergergershider-Business. Gesundheit-Business. Geflügelungen-Business. Geflügelungen-Business.
And it's not funny because, like, her name's so hard. Like, I literally don't know. It's just funny that nobody has cared to figure out how to pronounce Gina's name. Like, literally nobody cares. So Tamara tells us,
yeah, red flag, but just they've been together for 3 years and there's no talk about marriage. Red flag. Red flag.
Not everybody needs to be validated by fucking marriage. Now, Shannon probably does. Okay. I take it back because Shannon probably does, but
I don't know. I mean, I even think, like, Shannon got through a really terrible and traumatic marriage. And so I don't think it's, like, super normal for people who are, you know, like, in their 40s or 50s or whatever, who've already been through a marriage and who have grown children to say, like, oh, gotta lock it down right away. I think that's sort of like a younger person thing, that, you know, instinct, you know, like, gotta lock it down, gotta start a family. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, I don't know straight people. Shannon would actually need to be married, because first of all, she's also got to protect her money, right? Because she's not getting that much from David. I mean, I know people are like, well, what are you talking about? $10,000 a month is a lot. That's the last we heard about on the show. But it's not
really
that. I thought
she was giving money to David. I thought she was the wealthy one.
No, well, she grew up wealthy, but I still think that, I mean, he makes $1 zillion. Like, he makes $1 zillion.
That's true.
So he got off pretty light. Like, she let him off pretty light. It didn't get really that down and dirty. It could have gotten a lot worse. But anyway, I think she's still got stuff to protect that she wouldn't want to give it away. So it's not that, but it's the wanting to be asked thing, I think, with Shannon. Like, I think that would be, like, huge validation for Shannon. Because Shannon runs on validation. You know, that's like her gas. And I think that she would love to be validated by being asked, at least. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little surprised that they are not living together, or that he doesn't spend the night or anything like that. Like, that's weird.
Like, but I don't want to get married, but I want to be asked someday. I mean, my God.
Everyone get into Ronnie's DMs right now. So, so Shannon's like, she's like, well, I mean, I love John Jansen more than I've ever loved anyone. And I'm not willing to give up on our relationship because we do have the sex, money, kid issues. I was like, who was talking about giving up on your relationship? You just offered that one up. Where did that come from?
Yeah. And Tamara's like,
well, yeah, don't worry about it. We're going through a dry spell right now, too.
It's like, have you ever moisturized your face? Are you talking about your face?
Shannon's like, oh, sex-wise, oh, we're very good there. We have a lot of sexuality moments. For instance, the other night, we were watching NCIS, and I went, ha! Oh, it was just hot. So, yeah, we're great with our sex.
You know, NCIS was going to be called on Gina before I saved her. So, it's actually very, very lucky.
Yeah, all those CSI, NCIS, The Equalizer, calling them all up.
So then we go to Jen and Ryan's house. You know what I really hate on these shows? Where they make working out look so easy. They have a trainer there, and the trainer's like, bend over. Okay, now reach for the sky. Okay, we're done, everybody. Good job. And Ryan's like, oh, buff. I'm like, yeah. Jesus Christ. I do 21 push-ups a day, and I still look like a sleeping bag thrown over a folding chair. How does he get off with just bending over like that? I've bent over a million times. I don't look like that.
I know. God, he does have a great body. So Ryan's telling us.
Unfortunately, he has Mr. Furley face, but he does have a Mr. Furley the prequel face, where it's like, what's going on in here?
Yeah,
doesn't he have that look in his eyes?
In his interviews, he definitely has a he has like a John Turturro kind of.
Don't you dare diss Maurizio in this podcast. We'll get to him.
So, Ryan, he's like, Jen and I's relationship is special. Having Jennifer by my side, that's how you know I love her, because I call her Jennifer on TV. You know what they say, when you look good, you feel good. And she's fire. She's a 12 out of 10. What I'm saying is, I don't really give a fuck about her personality, because there really is none, but she's hot, and that makes me feel hot. So that's hot.
She's on TV, and I'm going to wear brand names written on the outside of my clothes until the day she's canceled. So I'm in it for the next couple of years at least. So then we see flashes of him going to the diamond store, and Ryan's like, "Did you think I would settle?" Because we find out that he's Armenian, which I didn't know. But the jewelry salesman is like, "Armenian gigolo," and they're only allowed to show Armenian people on this show if they eventually go to an Armenian jeweler. Have you noticed that? Like every character. I'm like, what like the Peggy. Hell stereotype? My God.
Or if they have a car that's half white, half black, like a cookie.
Yeah, black and white Mercedes. Yeah.
Down the middle. Just so like a car like everyone wants.
Yeah, that would be actually cool. A split down the middle instead of just the roof versus the body.
Remember, that was Peggy's, what was her husband's name again? They had that car dealership for all their cars.
Tico.
Tico. All their cars, that was their thing. They sold cars that were split down the middle, black and white, like half and half.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
It was hideous.
God, with both of our memories, I remembered his name as Tico, and you remembered the black and white cookie. We have like a whole brain between the two of us.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Ah, we're killing it.
Yeah, so Ryan's talking about, like, you know, how when you're with the person that you love, everything is different. You know, she's the whole package. So Jen says, why do you, of all people, who's not been successful in relationships, why do you want to tie it up? I'm like, well, Jen, why don't you ask yourself, why do you want to be with someone who's not successful in relationships and cheats all the time?
Yeah, and he's like, because it's you. You're on TV. I mean, God, looking on TV guide and seeing my picture. That shit is crazy. And she's like, you know, sometimes thinking about being married to you, like, I have to be honest. I have to, like, open my soul right now. Let me just open it. Hold on. My soul's opening. You know, it's just, I just hate the fact that somebody else came between us, Ryan. I really do. I can't let it go. And he's like, they didn't, baby. Come on. You can't say we were on a break and then somebody came between us, because that's not accurate. She goes, but it is. It's no. Literally what happened, Ryan. It's what happened. We were on a break and somebody came between. Someone came. You came in somebody between us, between me and you. You came in inside somebody. Is that a better way to say it? Like, what do you want me to say, Ryan?
Listen. So, did I have sex with a few tens of people in the 2 weeks we were up? Yeah, sure, but I don't know where we can get back together. It's within my rights. But the point is, you're hot and you're on TV, so I love you now. And she's like, you know, there were zero rules or parameters about this break. And, you know, we were just like still talking all the time. I remember talking to him while he was actively having sex with Heather Amin. It was just so strange. really hurt.
I mean, it's amazing how he can carry on a conversation so out of breath, which, you know, I give him credit for. And I remember that conversation. I said, you know what? You're having sex with Heather right now. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for taking my call. You didn't have to do that. It really means a lot to me, Rye.
And then he does that thing where he asks himself questions like guilty people do. He's like, I mean, did she expect me to carry on and have sex with somebody else? She did not.
He goes, I mean, did she think I was going to go and connect with someone? Let me walk that back. Did she think I'd go and have sex with someone? I had no connections with anyone else. It was purely physical. Definitely did not start an affair on the side. So Ryan's like, look, baby. You can choose to stay in the present, in the moment, or you can choose to let your mind run. She goes, no. I am the one who gets to do the new age bullshit. You don't get to do that, okay?
Yeah,
I
can't do that with you all the time. You don't get to pull pop psy out after you cheated. Like, baby, live in the now. It's the power of now, okay? I'm not coming in somebody. I came in somebody. Concentrate on the now. Power of now. It's in the Oprah Book Club.
Well, I just don't, you know what it is? I just don't want to have to be in a situation where I have to move my kids out of a house again, sit my kids down again, and they're like, guess what? Mom failed again. And Ryan's like, no, honey, don't worry. Honestly, the moment they met me, they knew it was already a failure. So they've already adjusted. They're ready for it.
And he's like, I have the perfect life. Why would I fuck it up? And he's like, God, raising 7 children? What a perfect life. Raising 7 children I wasn't planning on raising, plus 97 cats, 4 dogs, 2 baby giraffes, and a miniature donkey? I mean, who wouldn't dream of this life? Am I right?
One woman for the rest of my life and many, many children to support. This is a dream come true, honey. Don't worry. I'm in it. I'm all in.
I've not left the house one day where I didn't smell like cat piss. Why would I leave? And that brings us to the end of part 1 of Real Housewives of Orange County. Come back for part 2.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.